Now then, we're going to get into the Word today, and we're going to start in Proverbs 10, start with verse 2, and we're going to go a few verses here in Proverbs 10, 2, and we're going to talk about love. Now, this is what God's kingdom's all about. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 2, I'll start verse 2. Ill-gotten gain has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. Now, there's a lot of men, with what we're talking about today, a lot of men have gotten this gain wrong. But he says, right living can save your life. Well, if right living can save your life, the wrong kind of living can take your life. So a lot of people are sick and afflicted and die early because they don't obey these spiritual laws of God's Word. Verse 3 and 4. The Lord will not let the godly starve to death. Now, that's a good, that's a wonderful statement, right? I mean, are we godly? Well, if we're not, we better get that way. If we're serving the Lord and obeying His commands, He says the Lord will not let the godly starve to death. So He will provide something for us. Now then, if all He provides you is a half a loaf of wheat bread today, don't grumble about it. Because tomorrow you might not have that. I mean, we saw under the old covenant when He fed them with manna in the wilderness. Yeah, He took them out there and He didn't let them starve, did He? He brought this manna in that tastes kind of like honey, and they were good. But after a few days or weeks or months or whatever, they eating the same thing every day, they started grumbling and complaining, kind of like us. You know? And so God said, okay. They said, we want meat. And God says, okay, I'll give you all meat. I've heard you're grumbling and complaining, so I'm going to send you meat. So the next day He sends quail in by the thousands or the millions. I just pick them out of the air. Oh, man. They killed these quails. They got it. And it says, and many of them died with the meat in their teeth because of their grumbling and complaining. Ooh, if God didn't like grumbling and complaining, then whatever happens, don't grumble and complain about it, right? Because if you do, you're going to be breaking His spiritual law, and it's going to make you sick and afflict you and maybe cost you your life. So don't go there. It says, but He refuses to satisfy the craving of the wicked. Now, anybody can be wicked. Even a Christian can be wicked in God's sight. When you're not obeying Him, He sees you as wicked. And that's what's scary. So we don't want to be Christians and be wicked. But lazy people are soon poor, and hard workers get rich. Now, if we're a hard worker and do things good, well, under normal conditions, we'll have plenty of money. And even during this time, we could still have all the money we need. You know, He's going to take care of us. Verse 5 and 6. A wise youth works hard all summer. Now, there is a few of those kind of people left today, but there's a lot of youths out there today that they're not working. They don't want to work. You know, they want to play. They want to listen to radio and go on summer campouts and all this kind of stuff. It says, a youth who sleeps away the hours of opportunity brings shame. And it's a shame there's too many like that today. They want the government to take care of them. The godly are showered with blessings. Evil people cover up their harmful intentions. But the godly, God's going to shower us with His blessings. If we obey Him, we will not go hungry, won't let us starve, and He will take care of us. Verse 7 and 8. We all have happy memories of the godly, but the name of a wicked person rots away. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. 9 and 10. People with integrity have firm footing, a man of integrity, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. A man of integrity. You tell somebody you're going to do something, be a man of integrity. I mean, even if you don't even shake hands with them, you tell them, let your word be your seal. People who wink at wrong causes. How many people you see do that, even Christians? They'll say something and wink at you across the table. God says people who wink at wrong causes trouble. But a bold report promotes peace. Be careful next time you start to wink at somebody when they say something. Verse 11 and 12. The words of the godly lead to life, Evil people cover up their harmful intentions. Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love covers all offenses. Now, what is the most important word in a Christian's vocabulary?
Love.
That's exactly right. That's like the other night, we were laying there, and I was trying to go to sleep. Cheryl's talking my arm off, which she does that real often, late at night. You know, see, I mean, that's when she's got a captive audience, you know, when she's got me in the bed. You know, she's laying there talking, telling about all the different things she's learned today and whatever. And then, but we had a problem with somebody in the church. And she's laying there just, I'm telling me about, you know, boy, what happened, what she thinks, you know, ought to happen here and all this kind of stuff. And I'm laying there, and I guess I kind of about halfway go to sleep. She hears me snore a little or something. She says, "Are you awake?" I said, "Yes, yes, I'm awake. What do you think about this?" I turned over and looked her right in the eye in the total darkness, and I said, "Remember, love remembers no wrongs." And I turned back over and went back to sleep. She never said another word. She says, "Love remembers no wrongs." Is that what it said? Now, does it make any difference what anybody does to you? If you're a Christian, are you supposed to remember the things they did wrong to you? According to the Word, love remembers no wrongs. So, we don't obey God. But love covers how many offenses?
All.
Because love remembers no wrongs. Now then, let's go down to verse 27, Dave, from just that one more verse in this chapter, and then we'll go to another chapter. Verse 27. Fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. Isn't that something? You know, the average person today, we're not afraid of God. Well, we just do anything we want to do. But the years of the wicked are cut short. And see, somebody said, well, who's the wicked? Those that disobey God's word are wicked. Somebody said, I'm not wicked. Well, if you didn't obey what he told you to do, he sees you as wicked. That's scary, isn't it? Because guess what is going to happen if he sees you as wicked? What's going to happen to your life? It's going to be cut short. You know, that's just like a lot of men that I've come in contact with in my life, and I see a man that's 45 years old and he's on his deathbed. I mean, a man's not supposed to be on his deathbed at 45. Because he's got a brother that's 10 years older than him, and man, he's healthy as a horse. And I get to talking to him about the brother. And I'm trying to find the sin. Because, see, I understand the Word of God says, no curse comes upon you undeserved. So this man can't be laying here dying. That's not a blessing at 45. Would you think? No. Not sickness and disease, dying with cancer or something at 45. That's not a blessing from God. That's a curse from God. I want to find out what brought this curse upon him. And then I get to talking to the man. Well, yeah, he was a good guy. He go to church. Oh, yeah, he went to church. And he seemed to love God with all his heart. But here he is. Well, how about his family? Oh, yeah, he was a good husband, good to his kids, everything. I said, well, how about his mother and dad? Oh, he said him and dad never could get along. Oh, now we're on something. He used to just get on dad. I mean, when we'd go off somewhere, he'd tell me how much he hated dad. The things dad did, he didn't like what dad did. I said, so he didn't honor his dad? No, absolutely not. Ooh. The scripture said honor your parents, didn't it? Mother and dad. And it says if you don't do that, your life will be cut short. I think, wow, that's why he's laying there on his deathbed at 45. Been a good guy in everything except one place, at least that I found. He did not honor his parents. And so God cut him off at 45. He was wicked in God's sight. He broke God's spiritual law. So it cost him his life at 45 years old. How many times have I seen that? Way too many. Isn't that something? See, God's word means exactly what it says. Fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. But the years of the wicked are cut short. I guess I'll read verse 28 since that's a good one. The hopes of the godly result in happiness. Is that what we want? Absolutely, we want happiness. But the expectations of the wicked are all in vain. Those are two good scriptures there. Okay, Proverbs 15, 6 through 11. Proverbs 15, 6 through 11. There in Proverbs chapter 10, how many offenses did love cover over? If we could only learn to walk in love. if we'd only learn to obey God. And here in 6:15-6, it says, there is treasure in the house of the godly. Now then, are we supposed to be godly? If we're godly, well, there should be some kind of treasure in your house. Now then, if you're godly and you have a house and you're healthy, you know, and you're still able to walk and run and play, that's a treasure. You know that? That's a treasure. When I look at Joseph here, and Joseph told me yesterday he was 79 years old. Is that what you said, Joseph?
Yep.
I look at this guy. I mean, 79 years old, man, he runs and plays and does everything he wants to. But he serves God. He loves him and worships him. He's healthy. That's treasure, isn't it, Joseph?
Amen.
Amen. To be able to get up and go do things, work wherever he wants to, does what he wants to do at 79, man, that's treasure in his house. But you don't get that when you're wicked.
Right.
You get that by serving God and being godly. There's treasure in the house of the godly, but the earnings of the wicked bring trouble. Now, if you've got all kinds of trouble in your house, you're not doing something right. Only the wise can give good advice. Fools cannot do so. If you start to talk to somebody and you're going to ask for their advice or their opinions, you want to make sure that man is well-founded in the Word of God. Because that's the only place he's going to get wisdom, is from God. He can give you some very rotten advice if you don't get it from God's Word. And it can bring forth sickness and disease and death in your life. Now then, the next couple of verses. The Lord hates the sacrifice of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright. Now when you and I, as upright children, are walking obedient to his Word, and when we ask him to do something, he delights in those prayers. I mean, yesterday I was just awestruck as we had a healing school yesterday. We had a whole bunch of people here yesterday. We must have had 80 or 100 people here. We had a great group of people at the healing school yesterday. But right over here where Eldon's sitting, there was a woman sitting. And I didn't know until nearly the end when I was talking about the prayers of faith and how we can get things done. And Cheryl's pointed over and looked and said, what's her name, Raphael?
Raquel.
Cheryl said, well, there's Raquel sitting right over. Look at her. And I looked over, and then I recognized who she was. A few weeks ago, they brought this woman here in a wheelchair. She had had a stroke. She couldn't walk. We got her to repent of all of her sins. We prayed the prayer of faith for her, got her up, and I had her actually had her walk around a little bit. We had to hold her, but she could walk a little. And finally, we got her to the point where she could hold the handles of her wheelchair, and she took it out, and she went home pushing it. Well, the next time she come back to church, she come back with a walker. She was stronger. She don't need a wheelchair. But yesterday when she came back, she didn't need nothing. This woman was running and playing. She was just running all over the place. And she jumped up when I mentioned her name. She jumped up and held her hands up and said, look at this. And I said, praise God. Now, God delights in the prayers of his children that are walking upright before him. Don't we love to see him do those kind of things? Oh, we love to see God do those kind of things. But if we're not walking in obedience to his word, he don't answer those prayers like that. Ooh, I loved it and she loved it. I mean, this woman's healed from a stroke. I mean, how would you like to be here a few weeks ago in a wheelchair and you couldn't even get out of that wheelchair, and today you're walking and running and playing? Is that where you want to live? Ooh, that's where I want to live. And I want to be one of those that walks upright before the Lord. So when I pray for people like that, he hears my prayer.
Amen.
I want to see him do more of those kind of things. But it says the Lord despises the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. I mean, pursue it. He wants you after it. Okay, the next couple of verses. Whoever abandons the right path will be severely punished. Whoever hates correction will die. What did Jesus say about that little path?
Narrow
is the way that leads to life. Don't step off of it, right? Because if you step off of it, if you're his child, what does he say will happen if you abandon that path? What will happen to you according to that scripture? You will be... Now, how many of you want a spanking from God? I believe I'll pass. I don't want a spanking from God. Do you, Scott? Under no conditions. But what did he say? If I abandon that correct path, can I abandon that path as his child? Sure I can. Can I step off out here today and just do something stupid if I want to? Yeah, he gave me the freedom to do it, didn't he? I mean, one of your children, they could just go out there and do anything stupid they want to. But if they do, they're going to be severely punished, right, Dad? And they know that, don't they? Oh, yes, they know that. So that's why they walk straight down the path. Well, see, if we read this book and we learn this book and we know this, and we know as children of God, if we step off that path, we're going to be severely punished. No questions asked. You're going to be punished. I mean, we're not even smart enough in the church to know that God does these kind of things to us. We wonder why we have bad days, wonder why we have headaches, wonder why we have pains and sickness and all kinds of things. It's because we stepped off the path. And now we're severely punished. And then he says, if you don't like to be corrected, if you grumble about the correction, what does he say he's going to do to you? He's going to kill you. So I step off the path today and he gives me a spanking. And I grumble and complain about the spanking. He says, oh, okay, no problem. Bam, this kills me. If that's the way you're going to be, I won't have to worry about it. I'll just take you out. How many rewards do you think I'm going to get when I get home in heaven if I come out like that? Zilch, that's right. None. How would you like for somebody to say, oh, praise God, you're here. What? How old was you when you died? Well, I was 40. What did you do? Well, how would you like to have to explain that to somebody in heaven? Has it happened to a lot of men? Oh, yes, it has. I mean, we can go back in the Scripture in the Old Covenant. We can see many, even of God's kings, that didn't live to be but 30 or 40 years old. Many of them guys, because of their sin, God took them out. Woo! That ought to be a lesson for us. Even the depths of death and destruction are known by the Lord. I mean, he's God. How much more does he know the human heart? So you say, well, I'm just going to think about doing something mean today. I ain't going to do it. You think he knows? Sure he does. I mean, he can read our hearts. He knows exactly what we're thinking right now, every one of us. He knows. So you can't hide nothing from him. So don't try. Now then, let's go to Proverbs 18:21. Let's go to Proverbs 18:21. I'm going to show you something here that most of you know this, but we need to go over this every once in a while. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences. Do we have people that love to talk? Now, ladies, I don't mean this like it's going to come out. But I've had people tell me, if you want somebody to know something, just tell a woman. Have you girls ever heard that story too? Well, I'm going to tell you what, girls. If you want somebody to know it, just tell a human being. You don't have to tell a woman. You just tell somebody. You know, we've heard that old story about that. You know, guys are kidding. They say, yeah, if you want something, no, just tell my wife. She'll tell everybody in the country. You know, everybody will know it by morning. Well, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that, but there's a lot of truth with men, too. I know. I've been around men, and men, they talk, too, don't they? Sure they do. They talk. And some of the things they talk about is not what God tells us. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences. Because he told us to control our tongue. He said, life and death's in the power of the tongue. For the tongue can kill or nourish. That thing in your mouth is your best friend or your worst enemy. It's going to bring health or death and destruction to you. And what a shame. We just don't realize that it means what it says. But we suffer the consequences. Now Matthew 5:43-48. Matthew 5:43-48. 43. You have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And that's what it said. That's what it said. But I say, Jesus is talking, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. It's a whole lot easier to love God, but hate people. Especially when they do something you don't like, huh? If you don't believe that, just be around us a while. You know, you can find out, you know, because we will talk. We will say things, and you'll be able to pick up on where our heart is because we'll say things about people. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I say, love your enemies. When Jesus come along with the kingdom he give us, this wonderful word of love, if we as Christians could walk in this God kind of love, boy, what a place this would be if we could just learn to do this. Now then, 45 and 46, in that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. Next couple of verses, 47, 48. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now then, here a while back I was teaching a Bible study class when we were still over in Dallas, and a new young man was there that night, and I happened to be teaching on some of these same particular things about love, and I said, we're not supposed to sin. And when I said that, that young man held his hand up. He said, are you telling me as a Christian I'm not supposed to sin? I said, absolutely. God's Word says our goal every day is no sin. He said, you know you can't walk through the day without sinning. I said, son, speak for yourself. I ain't going there with you. He said, I guess the next thing you'll tell me is you expect me to be perfect. I said, well, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I'll let the Word of God answer it. I said, I want you to open your Bible to Matthew 5:48, and I want you to read that. But you are to be what? Isn't that something? What does God expect us to be? Perfect. Well, what does perfect mean? Even as your Father. Now, when you think about God, do you think God's perfect? Absolutely. So, somebody says, I can't be like God. Well, then why did he put this in his book? If it was impossible for you and me to walk right there, why did God put that in his Word? I would never tell my child to do something I knew he couldn't do. Would you, Tom? I mean, if I had that beam there's probably 14, 12, 13 feet off the ground, and I were to say, son, jump up there and grab that beam. Well, I know Tim couldn't jump. I can't jump up there and grab that beam. I'm a whole lot taller than he is, so I know he couldn't. So I said, I'm going to spank you until you can jump up there and get that beam. Wouldn't that be stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, be stupid. Because you know it's impossible. You know he can't do that. But if I were to lower that beam down to about 7 feet, I believe he could reach up and get that. I believe he could jump high enough to do that. I know I can touch 8 foot just standing flat-footed, so with my arms. So I could jump up and get an 8-foot beam and hold up there. So somebody said, Thurman, jump up there and grab hold that 8-foot beam. I could do it. Now, if you put it to 9 foot, I'd have to jump a little higher, but I could probably still do it. Might have to really practice a little, but I could do it. Now then, if you go bring it to 12 foot, like where that is, that ain't even possible. That ain't even the ballpark. I ain't no way I can jump up and grab hold of that 12-foot beam. Only way I can grab hold of that beam is when I walk up on top of that flat ledge right there. Then I can get it when I walk by it, but from here down here, I can't do it. But that wall's 8 foot high right there. So, you know, so on top of that, I could. But God is telling you and me to be perfect even as his Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So should that be our goal every day? Absolutely. Our goal should be to walk totally in obedience to his Word. Now then, let's go to Matthew 19:19. Honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Now here is something, the beginning of something that we miss as Christians. Are these commands of God? Yeah, these are not just something if you want to do this. These are commands from God. These are spiritual laws, divine law, that he put out, spiritual laws, that he tells us what to do, and he commands us to do these things. And if we don't do them, it's going to bring sickness to us. Just like he says, honor your parents, honor your father and your mother. Now then, he goes so far to say, under the Ten Commandments, if you honor your mother and your father, your days will be long on the earth. Which means if you don't honor your mother and father, your days will not be as long on the earth. But here where he says, love your neighbor as yourself. it's like we miss that part. Okay, so I got to love my neighbor. Okay, so I love Joseph. He's a good guy. But me? Nah, I ain't going to love me. Well, you know what? By disobeying God and not loving me, you know what that's going to do to me? It's going to bring sickness and disease to my body. It's going to bring heart problems. It's going to bring fibromyalgia. It's going to bring diabetes. It's going to bring all kinds of sickness and disease that's going to be associated with my disobedience to walk in love with God and myself. And you have no idea how many, well, the ratio is probably 5 to 1 or 10 to 1 of women over men. When I see a woman with breast cancer, my first place to start is, do you love yourself? Especially if it's on her left side. I say, do you love yourself? Who could love me? And she may be a beautiful woman. But with God, it doesn't make any difference what you look like. He thinks you're beautiful because He made you. You know that? Whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, it makes no difference with God. It don't make any difference if you're short, fat, you know, whatever you are. God loves you, and He commanded you to love yourself. So, especially when we were in Europe the last 2 or 3 times, these women with breast cancer, every one of them that had breast cancer didn't love themselves. And some of those ladies were beautiful ladies. I mean, you know, from a man, you look at a man, here she is, about 5'6", you know, weighs about 125, 30 pounds, you know, got a pretty figure, pretty built woman, everything. Why, do you love yourself? Well, who could love me? I said, what do you mean, who could love you? Anybody could love you. No. What do you think it would take for somebody to be able to love you? Well, you know, I'm getting old, and maybe if I had a little chin tuck, or, you know, had a few of these wrinkles gone, you know, but look at me. Aren't I awful? I said, you want me to tell you the truth? I think you're beautiful. You really do? Well, nobody's told me that in a long time. See, when they're married to a man, what should that man be telling them? Oh, you're beautiful. I love you with all my heart. They need to be hearing this. But since they're not hearing this, they think nobody loves them, including God. So they get to the point where they don't love themselves, and all of a sudden they're sick. And they got breast cancer in their left breast. And they have no idea that it's because they broke a spiritual law of God's commandment that says, love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody says, not loving myself wouldn't make me sick. Oh, yes, it will. We have seen it over and over and over and over. And isn't it amazing? You bring a little 20-year-old girl up here. Maybe she's, depends on, I remember one day, there was a lady walked in. I kind of looked up at her and I thought, man, that's a nice, attractive woman right there. You know, really. And then there was a little girl walked through, short, stocky, you know, there wasn't nothing pretty about her at all, as far as I was concerned. But, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? But me, that little girl wasn't beautiful. I mean, she's a woman. God made her. She was a little short and a little overweight and everything else. But, you know, she walked in, and I looked at the two women, and I thought, that first one, she's a very attractive woman. That next one, not very attractive to me. But a little guy walked in later, and he said, you see that girl right there? He's talking about the second one. I said, yes. He said, isn't that the most beautiful thing you ever saw in your life? Now see, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, he thought that was the sweetest thing he had ever seen. He said, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she precious? I said, of course she is. God made her. You know, but God made us all kinds of ways, didn't he? Sure. And he knows what he's doing. And so he knows. But love is what this is all about, walking in love. It says, here, honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love your neighbor, it's going to make you sick. You can start talking about your neighbor down the street and you can say, you know, that old man down the street, I hate that old guy. You know, he's not loving and kind. I don't like to be around him. I don't love him. I say, do you love yourself? Oh, yeah, I love me. But still you're sick. Only this time, it's something else wrong with you. If it's the man down the street, you got a pain in your right leg and down your back hip, on your right side, because you don't like your neighbor, but he's a man. Now, if it had been a woman, it would have been on your left side. Isn't that amazing? That's kind of, we've just noticed this. It's just got to be a regular thing. Every time we find a person that's got a problem with their right side, it's always a problem with a man. If it's a left side, it's a problem with a woman. I thought, wow, how unique this is. But it's just that way. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know why it's like that, but it just is. And there's so many that we learn that when these women don't love themselves, every time that woman has breast cancer, if she don't love herself, or if you ask her if she loves herself, she says, oh yeah, I love myself with all my heart. I said, okay, do you have any kind of unforgiveness toward a relative, your mother, your sister? Oh, my sister, me and her just can't get along about nothing. Oh, so it's a relative, and you got breast cancer in your left breast. Well, you got to forgive her. And after you forgive her, then we pray for you and it'll go away. And we've seen that heal many times. Well, you come and she's got breast cancer in the right breast. Do you have unforgiveness towards somebody? A female? Well, yeah. Who? Well, one of the women I work with. I just can't stand her. She's always talking about me. Oh. Isn't that amazing how if it's not a family member, it's always on the right side. If it's a family member, it's on the left side. That's just the way it works. We've seen this hundreds of times. You know, if people, women, you know, women go in regularly and have these mammograms to see if they got breast cancer? Because no woman wants to have breast cancer. You know, God made her with these things on her, and they're not supposed to be afflicted with cancer. And no woman wants to lose her breast. She wants to be a whole woman. Is that right? Sure. So if they understood that not loving themselves would bring that on them, what do you think most women would do? They would love themselves. Now somebody said, well, you know, how long has it been since you haven't loved yourself? How long have you had your breast cancer? Well, about 6 months. How long have you not loved yourself? Well, 4, 5, 6 years. Isn't it amazing how God is merciful and His mercy endures and is new every morning, but finally it runs out and He lets this come upon you. But when it does, I mean, when you forgive, I think about Ida. Ida's not here today, but Ida's one of the ladies that works for us. She comes out a couple of days a week, doesn't she? Yeah. So she comes out and works a little with us. But when Ida and her husband, they first started coming to church here, I mean, they never heard these things. They've been in church all their life, but they never heard these things. And so whenever she came to have breast cancer, I told her, I said, you know, you have unforgiveness towards someone. And we took care of the problem. We got the sins confessed. I said, okay, now I pray for you, and God promises He'll forgive all of your iniquities and He'll heal all of your diseases. He said that in Psalm 103. And so I prayed for her. But her husband said, but Thurman, this is my wife, and I don't want to lose her. So I'm going to take her down. I've already got an appointment Thursday to have the surgery done on that breast. So he said, I don't want to lose her. So I said, so you're telling me you don't believe God? He said, I do believe God. But see, he didn't believe God. He thought he did, but he didn't. He wanted to say he's believing God, but he don't, because he's not been raised up in a church that teaches him that God really does these kind of things. And so they go down and have surgery. When they go have the surgery and they take the tissue out, of course they go in under arm through her breast and they take it out. And when they do, before they cut this, they take it out, the tissue, and they recheck it, and there ain't nothing there. It's perfect. Oh, now then they've cut her, and where her arm grows back, guess what happens? Your skin don't flex as good. You know that? So now she can't raise her arm but about this high. So when she comes back, she's crying, he's crying. We're so sorry, Thurman. We didn't believe God. And now look at me, she says. I can't raise my arm no higher than this. She said, I hate to think I'm going to have to live like this the rest of my life. I said, well, I believe God will be merciful. I believe if I pray for you. And she was sitting right there. I said, I'll come over and pray for you. I went over there and prayed for her. I said, I said, both of you repent. You too. And he said, Lord, I'm so sorry I didn't believe you. I realize I'm the spiritual head of this house, but I did not believe you. He said, Lord, forgive me. When you ask God to forgive you, will He do it? Isn't that a wonderful thing about God? He did forgive him, and then I told her, I said, well, you ask Him to, because you really didn't believe either. And so she did, and then I laid my hands on her and said, Father, in Jesus' name, be merciful to her and restore her completely in Jesus' name. I said, now, I had to raise your arm. Oh, what? I said, raise your arm. And she just went, pow! And it went right up. She was completely healed. And today she can just, she said, that day when I put my arm up and that thing was completely healed, that removed all of the if about God with me. I know He loves me now, and I know He wants to do good things for me. It changes your life forever when you see God do something like that. You know it? And so now she comes out and works with us a couple of days a week. She just wants to help us out because she loves God and she's so appreciative of what God did for her. But see, love is where it's all at. If she had walked in total love, she wouldn't have had that breast cancer. See, there's a consequence for not loving yourself. There's a consequence for not loving your neighbor. God commanded it. Now then, let's go to Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Matthew 22, 35 through 40. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap Jesus with this question. Teacher said, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? What is it? Let's go. Verse 37, 38. Let's see what it says. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, do you know anybody that really, really does that every day, 24/7? I mean, I bet you none of us. I bet you none of us meet that criteria. You know what it means to love something with all your strength, all your soul, all your might? You're just engrossed with it all the time. You know? I mean, the closest thing I can come to this is when a young man gets to be about 19 or 20 years old and all of a sudden he begins to be interested in the other sex. All of a sudden he sees this beautiful young thing. Ooh, look at that girl. Wow, I want that girl to be my wife. Man, that girl is on his mind, on his heart. He's thinking about her all the time. Now, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, when you've seen one of them back, woo! I mean, you were talking about this girl. Oh, man, isn't she the prettiest thing you've ever seen in your life? Woo! You see that girl driving down that road, right? That's my sweetheart. She's on your mind 24/7. Is that the way God's supposed to be on our mind and our heart? But are we like that? No, we get like the guy after the guy marries the girl and he's been married 10 years. He gets up in the morning and don't tell her hi. Don't hug her no more. Don't tell her she's beautiful no more. Why? Well, I mean, she's just there now. Woman, get in there and kick me some breakfast. Is that the way guys are? I mean, some guys are like that, are they not? She says, did you forget something this morning? No, I didn't forget nothing. I got up. She said, you haven't told me in a long time you love me. He said, I told you 10 years ago when I married you I love you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. That sound like some guys? Yeah, it sounds like some guys. But that's the same way we do God, isn't it? That's the same way we do God. You know, now, but God don't like that. And that's what brings sickness and disease to many of us. And, of course, some women don't like it either, and that's what causes divorce. You know, they get all of that they can stand, and they can say, well, that's the way my husband's going to be. I'll see if I can't find me another one. And, unfortunately, they do. But the Lord says here, this is the first commandment. And then let's see verse 39 and 40. Let's see what the second one is. And Jesus said, and a second is equally important. So this one is just as important as loving God. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Everything in God's Word is based on these two commandments. So these are the most important. We are supposed to love God with all of our heart and love our neighbor. I'm supposed to be as good to you as I am to God, Joseph. That's something, isn't it? And then, when it comes down to me, how good am I supposed to be to me? I'm supposed to love me with all my heart. Is that true? Yep. Are you supposed to love yourself with all your heart, Ann? Yes. If you don't, guess what'll happen? you're disobeying God's rules. And eventually it'll make you sick and you won't have a good day. So when you repent and start loving yourself, and here's the poor Cheryl, she's got a great thing she tells so many ladies. And I've seen it bring tears to many of them. She said, you know, you need to realize you are a princess of the King of the universe. Ooh, you're a daughter of the King. When that really soaks in on a woman, that I'm royalty, that I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. Jesus is my brother. God the Father is my daddy. That'll change the way you look at yourself. That's got to make a little trip from here to here. But when it makes that trip from here to here and you think, man, I'm somebody. I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. But for a man, when a man gets a hold of that, I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with the King of the universe. All the treasures and the secrets of the universe are hidden in him, and he's in me. So what can I as a man do with him and me? Anything. Just turn me loose on anything. With Jesus in me, I guarantee I can do it. I can remember one time a VP come to me when I was still out there in the workforce. He said, Thurman, I got a project that's going to be so difficult. I hate to even ask you and your men to do this. His name was Tim Tully. I said, Mr. Tully, the difficult we do immediately. The impossible takes just a little bit longer. He said, I ain't never met a man like you in my life. How can I make those kind of statements? Who's in me? Jesus is in me. And I know he's in me. And I give him all the glory for every project I ever done. So when I go and ask him, guess what he does for me? He gives me the information. He reveals to me. He talks to me. He shows me how to do these things because he knows I'm not going to take none of the glory. He knows I'm going to give him all the glory. I'm going to confess him before everybody. And so that's why and how I can say, you know, problem. The difficult we do immediately. The impossible only takes just a little bit longer. And guess what? I never had a project. I don't care what it was. Any VP or CEO gave me a project to do. I don't care where it was, in the United States or in a foreign country, building a building or designing a piece of equipment. I did it in record time with record budgets. How in the world could you do that? Who are we attached to? The King. He's in me. And I know that. And I'm not hesitant to tell him. And when I go to those places, I don't try to do nothing on my own. I say, Lord, boy, we got a real chore ahead of us here. I know with you, Lord, this is a piece of cake. It looks awful big to me. But I know with you and me, I know we can handle this. It ain't going to be no problem whatsoever. And after I've seen him do those kind of things so many times, it just got easier every one I went to. It don't make any difference. They send you to Cairo, Egypt to build a building that's been under construction for 7 years and nobody can finish it. And the engineer was there, quit. He said, ain't nobody ever going to get this building up and running. So they called me, took me over there. I looked at the thing, walked 3 days or 4 days through this thing, and I thought, okay, Lord, this looks like a good project for you and me. This bunch over here, they're totally heathen. They don't, none of them, nobody over here believe in Jesus, so I'm just going to tell them all about you, and then we're going to see what you're going to do here. But I know you're going to do something great. And in 3 months, I opened that facility. 3 months. They were blown away. How in the world do you have all this knowledge to do all these things? I said, I'm connected to the King of the universe. His name's Jesus, and all the treasures and all the secrets of the universe are in him, and he's in me. So all I got to do is ask him. Colossians chapter 2, he tells me that. So I have no lack of knowledge because I'm in him, and he's in me. And I walk in love and do what he says. Isn't that awesome? To be tied to a king that has that kind of knowledge and wisdom, and if you obey him, love him with all your heart, love your neighbor as you love yourself. God says in his word, if you obey these two commandments, is there any commandment greater than these two? No. Everything bases or hinges on these two commandments. If you obey those and walk in love and do what he says, and he says under the new covenant, you can come and ask me for what? Anything, and I'll do it for you. That we love, don't we? Amen. We can come and ask for anything as his children, and he'll do it for us. Love your neighbor as yourself. What if you don't love God with all your heart? you're going to be sick. You're going to have a medical history. Somewhere along the line, it's going to happen to you. What if you don't love your neighbor? You're going to have a medical history somewhere along the line. What if you don't love yourself? You're going to have a medical history because you're breaking God's rules. Are these commandments, he said? Did he say, keep all my commandments? Now, what if we do keep all those commandments? You don't have to ever be sick again. You can walk in divine health. I mean, it's awesome what he give us there. Now then, let's go to Mark 12, 30 through 34. Mark 12, 30 through 34. A lot of people do not believe that by not obeying, loving him and loving your neighbor as yourself will make you sick. But it will. I mean, I have seen it over and over and over. And Mark 12, 30 and 31 says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. If you're a Christian, these are commands from God. He didn't say if you wanted to, did he, Joseph? He said, you must. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So why do we disobey him so much of the time? Why do we not do this? Because we're human beings. That's why. I mean, the flesh just is a weak little creature, and it wants to do its own thing, and sometimes you'll be out there, and you know, there's some of us may go a day, a week, a month, and say we're Christians, and we don't go to church. We don't even think about God. You don't get up in the morning praising him. You never praise him for nothing you eat or drink. I mean, somebody might be with you on an outing somewhere. You might go out on a hunting trip, and you go as a Christian, there goes a lost man. They never know the difference between you and them. You wake up in the morning, you got one thing on your mind. Go kill that deer. You know? You didn't get up in the morning praising God. You didn't wake up and as you stretch, say, oh, Lord, thank you. You're here in the same little travel trailer or whatever with this other guy, your friend that's lost. You didn't get up and say, oh, Lord, praise you for this beautiful day. Lord, thank you for all these beautiful deer we're going to kill today in the name of Jesus. You just get up and say, well, did you sleep good last night? Well, not too good. That little bed don't sleep as good as mine does at home. So you grumble and complain a little bit. So he grumbles and complains a little, and he can't tell no difference between you and him. And you go out there and you all walk all over the place, and then you grumble about your feet and grumble about having to carry the gun and grumble about not seeing no deer and maybe you tell a few dirty jokes and everything else, and you can't never tell the difference between one and the other one. I got a feeling you ain't loving God with all your heart. You're not even loving your neighbor as yourself, because if you really loved yourself and you loved that guy as well, you'd be telling him about Jesus while you're out there walking. You know that? But we don't do that. And he says the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandments is greater than these. He's reiterating these things. These are so important. Now then, yeah, let's go on to Luke 6, 27 through 38. But if you're willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Now, wait a minute. This is kind of hard to do. It's so much easier to talk about them when they hurt me, isn't it? Well, that old guy, I mean, you know, that guy went out on that hunting trip. You know, that guy, he was awful. He didn't pay none of the bills. He expected me to pay everything. I thought he was going to share the cost with me, but he didn't. Do you hear guys talk like that? Sure, they did. One of them's the guy that's doing the talking is supposed to be a Christian. So instead of loving him like he says, and even your enemies, and you're supposed to do good to those who hate you, if you get out there and the guy's trying to take you to the cleaners, hey, just buy everything. I mean, buy all the meals, pay all the gas, do everything. If you think he's trying to get through to do to you, I mean, if he's not a brother in Christ, if he's a lost man, show him the love of God. I mean, don't grumble about nothing. And then pray for the happiness. Pray for him. I mean, when you get up in the morning as a Christian, the guy ain't a Christian, you say, Lord, I'm going to ask you to bless this man today and let him have a happy, wonderful day today. He said, well, what's wrong with you? But almost nobody does that. Verse 31 and 32. Oh, there we go. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Now, how many of you can do that? We find out what you're made out of. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt. Do you know the other day there was a family that has been to this church a couple of times? And he drinks a little. And he got drunk on a weekend. And his wife came in, and she didn't like him being drunk. So she read him the riot act. They've been married several years. And he said something kind of sharp back to her. And so she walked over and grabbed him and just slapped him with everything she had. Somebody said, well, boy, that's what he deserved. But guess what he did since he was drunk when his wife slapped him? Guess what he did? He turned around and retaliated with that fist and hit her right in the mouth, knocked her over a table, and likely broke her back. So she got up and called the cops. Some woman said, that's good. The cops come. Guess who they took to jail? Her. She was the one who slapped him. She's the one who started it. Although he was drunk, they took her to jail. That's one phone call she shouldn't have made. That's one phone call. When I talked to her, when I ministered to the family, I told her, this is one time you should have turned the other cheek. This is one time you should have prayed for him. This is one time you should have walked in love. And you wouldn't have wound up in jail. You know, if she'd have done what God told her to do, she wouldn't have wound up in jail. But guess who she let take hold of her? The flesh. Ooh, when somebody walks up and slaps you in the face, if you let the flesh take hold, what does the flesh do? Oh, does the flesh retaliate? Oh, this beast can be a really mean critter. You know that? You don't believe that? You do something like that to a Christian one day, that's not really a really good Christian. If you got a really good Christian, he'll obey God's word. He'll do what he says. Then he says, give what you have to anyone who asks you for it. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Somebody says, boy, you got to be crazy. It takes a real Christian to live this walk. It's not the average man. These are real people. These are real Christians. Next couple of verses. Do for others as you would like them to do for you. Do you think you deserve credit merely for loving those who love you? Even the sinners do that. I mean, you know how easy it is to love all you people in here today? It's really easy. Because most of y'all in here love God. It's real easy for me to love you. But you know, if you get somebody that doesn't walk with God, and if they're mean to you, it's a little more difficult, isn't it? That's when you find out what you're really made out of. Do you love? Verse 33 and 34. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, is that so wonderful? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay it, what good is that? Even sinners will lend to their own kind for a full return. That's why whenever somebody calls me and they're having a bad streak of luck and they say, I need $100 or $500, and if I got the extra money, I just say, okay, I'll send it to you. I'll give you $500. Many a time I've given people money that have been to this church that got down on a run of their luck. And if I give them money, they say, this is a loan. Okay, if they need $300 and I give it to them, I don't ever give it to them with an intent in my heart. This is a loan. If they look at it as a loan, they want to pay it back, that's okay. But when I give it to them, I give it to them. You see where I'm coming from? Because if I give it to them thinking they're going to give it back to me and they don't give it back to me, then I'm offended. And now I'm getting my power cut off with God because I'm not walking in obedience to His Word. I don't want my power cut off with God over a few lousy $100. Would you, Joseph?
No,
it ain't worth it. So I ain't going to go there. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, what good is that? Most of the people I loan money to can't afford to pay it back. And so when I give it to them, it's a gift. Okay. 35 and 36. God takes care of it. Love your enemies. Do good to them that lend to them. To them, lend to them, and don't be concerned that they might not repay, then your reward from heaven will be very great. That's just what Joseph just said. He's believing and trusting God, and that's what I do. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and to those who are wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. 37:38. Stop judging others, and you will not be judged. Now, these are people that are lost he's talking about here. Stop judging others. Stop criticizing others, or it will all come back on you. If you forgive others, you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. Now, if you walk in love and you give, you're in obedience to God's rules, and you love God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you can give anything you have. And like Joseph said, it will come back to you many times over. God will bless you. We run this ministry, ever since I've been in the ministry, I've run this ministry on these principles. Give. Cheryl and I give of ourselves night and day to this ministry. We give of things we have to other people. All these things that we have here, we give them away. Nobody but God knows what we do for the people that work for us, the time we've given them things. I mean, just give them stuff, just because we just want to give them things. But we give them things, and we bless them. And by doing that, you notice that this is one of the few ministries that you come to on Sunday, they don't pass an offering plate. We don't even pass an offering plate. We just tell them, there's a box over there. If you want to put something in it, fine. If you don't, that's good. You can take what you want to. It's all over here, and it's free. And we give away 8,000 to 10,000 of these a week. That's a bunch of them. And some of them we send out. Sacks and sacks. I go to the post office on a regular basis almost every day with sacks and sacks full of stuff that we send all over the world, and we send it out all free and postpaid. And guess what? Guess who pays my bills? God does. It amazes me. Just amazes me that money comes in from everywhere, and we never have ever, not one time ever, even with all the radio stations I'm on, the TV stations I'm on, and everything else, and paying all those bills every month, I have never had to dip into my own bank account to help pay. Isn't that something? God pays the bills. You think, gee, and you don't even ask for money. No. When I send stuff out, people free and postpaid, I don't even ask them to send a donation back. Don't even ask them. But some of them do. What did God say there? If you give, you will receive. See, when Dave went to ORU, his final semester up there, working on his master's degree up there, they taught him how to manage your media, how to, you know, sell it and everything. And he told him, he said, why don't we just do it God's way and give it away? Well, they couldn't go there with him. They just couldn't go there with him. They said, you know, you couldn't give it away. If you do, you know, you just can't do that. They said, well, I work for a ministry that does that. And they give away everything. I said, I never hear them ask nobody for money. And said, every time they need money to buy something or equipment or pay bills, the money's always there from somewhere. Well, that somewhere, guess who that somewhere is? It's God. Absolutely right. It's God. Boy, if I had to come up with $10,000 a week to pay the bills for this ministry, I'd be in trouble. My Social Security, $1,600 a month, I'd be in trouble. That won't even pay a fraction of a week, much less a month. But that's what it takes, about $10,000, $8,000 to $10,000 a week to pay our bills. But I sure couldn't pay them on $1,600. And even when I take my extra couple thousand dollars of oil and gas money that I'm getting now, there for a while it got down to about $750, but now it's back up to $2,000 to $3,000 a month, which is nice. You know, it's nice to have that $3,000, $4,000 a month coming in to put in the bank. You know, it's nice to have that, because if you, everything you have is paid for, your cars are paid for, and everything, $3,000, $4,000 a month, real nice to have. And it, your bank account builds up because you ain't having to spend much of it. So it's nice when I do need money for something, I got money. You know, I want to take off a few days and go somewhere. I can. So that makes it really nice that you can do that. But God says in the ministry, as well as my personal life, if I give, it'll be given to me. And so I give, and it is given to this ministry. And, of course, the thing I love about this, the thing that I love the most about walking in this God kind of love, when I love Him with all my heart, and I love my neighbor as myself, guess how often I have to be sick? I don't have to be sick. Not at all. When I walk in love, I don't have to be sick. And the thing I love about it the most is when I obey Him, when I pray for, like, the lady, as well as many others. When I pray for them, God shows up. And that little lady that came in here with a stroke in a wheelchair a few weeks later come back walking. Don't you love to see God answer your prayer like that? Well, that lady loved it too. She was a very happy camper yesterday. But I love it. And of course, yesterday there was a man here that was 91 years old from Odessa. He said, I've been wanting to come and meet you. He worked for the federal government for 50 years. Lubbock. Yeah, oh, excuse me. He's from Lubbock. And he brought his son with him. He's a pastor from Florida. And he came down from Florida, went to Lubbock, and got his dad and drove back down here so he could be at the healing school yesterday. And he came up and said, when I heard about this ministry, he said, my wife was terminal. He said she was comatose. And said, I walked in, and all the science and everything we have, I walked in, the doctor said, well, we just need to unplug your wife. There's nothing we can do. He said, you mean you're telling me that with all the technology we have, there's not anything science or man can do to save the life of my wife? And I said, no, it's over. He said, well, it's time to step out and call on a man that serves God. And he called, and he got me. I just happened to answer the phone that day when he called. He said, I got Thurman personally. And he said, Thurman, I told him my situation. And he said, Thurman prayed for my wife. And he said, we hung up the phone. He told me, he said, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. And he said, I hung up the phone, walked back in there, and my wife was setting up. She went home the next day. He said, later, my wife come down with some problems in her stomach. And he said, they said she can't eat properly. And he said, so I called back to the Living Savior Ministry. This time I didn't get Thurman. I got one of the ladies that worked for him. He said, that lady prayed the prayer of faith, and the Lord instantly healed my wife's stomach. He said, man, I'm telling you, this ministry is a ministry I want to be attached to. Well, let me tell you, this is a ministry I want to be attached to, too. Because this ministry is attached to who? The King. And when we obey Him, it was wonderful. That happened 2 years ago, and I had never met the gentleman till yesterday. 91 years old. And how God did those wonderful things for his wife when we prayed. Now, do we love to see God do those kind of things? Ooh, do we love to see God do those kind of things? But see, one thing about it, I got to pray for his wife when she was comatose and God raised her up. And somebody else in this ministry got to pray for his wife over her stomach. And he healed that too. So see, and it was something else too. There was a third thing. I don't remember what it was. But you know, he called back again. And another one of our ladies answered the phone. And she prayed for him and God healed her that time too. Do we serve an awesome God?
Amen.
If we'll just... What is the requirement? What is the main requirement to get God to do these great things? Four-letter word. What is it?
Love.
Love. Love who? Him, number one. And then who else?
Everybody.
Your neighbor as yourself. Now, if God commanded us to love Him, love your neighbor, and love yourself, do you think if He said, these are my commandments, He meant it?
Yes
He did. So if we love Him first with all our heart, we love our neighbor, and then we love ourselves. And if you have problems loving yourself, do what Cheryl says. Get up in the mirror, walk into the mirror, look in there and say, God, look at that. If you're a guy, wow, God, look at that good-looking thing you built here. Somebody said, well, you ain't very good-looking. Nah, that's okay. That's your opinion. This is just between me and God. Lord, I love this thing you give me to live in. I'm so grateful for this thing. You command me to love this thing. I love myself, Lord. I love you with all my heart. And I love my neighbor. But Lord, I love me because you commanded me to love me. I'm a son of God. You made me a joint heir with the King. Name a few things. And if you're a lady, you know, walk in and look in there and say, whew, look at that beautiful thing. I'm royalty. I'm a daughter of the king of the universe. I'm a princess. Could you have a better position in life than that? Now, if a woman would walk in and look in that mirror and say, Lord, I love that thing I'm looking at in the mirror. She's beautiful because she's one of your daughters. And you don't make no junk. You tell yourself that long enough, you'll get to where you believe that. And when you believe that, guess what? That makes God happy because you're obeying His commandment. And then when you want Him to do something for you, you're going to ask Him, and guess what He'll do? He'll answer your prayer. That's exactly right. If God commands us to walk in love, if we walk in love, we get to see Him answer all of our prayers. I love a God like that, don't you?
Amen.
Now all I got to do is do what He says. Yes, Joseph?
I heard a rabbi preach this very sermon yesterday morning using the same scriptures that you've used, the primary scriptures that you've used. Very same thing.
Wow, praise the Lord. Me and him reading the same book, aren't we?
Well, yes, but he, of course he got his from Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy has the same commandment.
Oh, yeah. It's all over the Bible. I mean, we can fill these things out. I mean, it's all over the New Testament. It's all over the Old Testament. God started out commanding us to love Him first and to love our neighbors ourselves. It's all over the Bible. So it must be important, right, Joseph?
Absolutely.
It's very important. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You and thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You for Your Word. And, Lord, we thank You for showing us how to love You with all of our being and love our neighbor as ourself. So, Lord, we want to, as Your children, we want to obey You. We want to walk in obedience to Your Word. We want to walk in love with You and walk in love to our neighbor and ourselves. Because, Lord, we don't want to be sick. We want to be well. So we know to do that, to walk in divine health, we have to obey. Because You said if we obey all Your commandments and do what You say, then You will take all sickness away from us. And Lord, if You said that, then it's a done deal. If we obey, You'll do what You said. So Lord, help us to walk there, because we do not want to be sick. We want to walk in divine health. And I give You praise and glory for this day. In Jesus' name.